It's time, folks, for another Church of God radio broadcast. This broadcast comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street, here in Newark, Ohio.
And now we'd like to ask Brother Larry Dishman to come and bring us another message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn with us over to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post, on the upper door of the post of the house wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. Ye shall not let any of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I'd like to preach a message entitled, When I See the Blood. I'd like for us to put the blood of Christ under the microscope and do some forensic study. Then we'll get the complete picture. Without the blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. And that's just as true in the Bible. Did you know that the blood flows through the Bible just as it does our veins? The blood of Christ is what keeps Christianity alive. The blood is spoken of 427 times in the Bible. So it's easy to see this is not a minor theme. This is a major theme in the Bible, the blood. Without the blood, the gospel is dead. We're deprived without eternal life without the blood. When you take the blood out of the Bible, you take the life out. The blood is powerful. What does the blood of Christ do? The songwriter said, Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you over evil victory win? There's power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder, working power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lamb. It takes power to save an individual. It takes the power of the blood of Jesus to clean us up, because we're justified by the blood. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter and verse number 9, much more then, being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' blood conquers all sin. If you've got sin in your heart and life and you can't do anything about it, I got good news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ still conquers all sin. There's remission of sin only in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews the 9th chapter and verse number 22, and almost all things by the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We're redeemed, thank God, by the blood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm here to tell you, friend, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ. False religion has always denied the blood and denied its power. Mary Baker Eddy of Christian Science Movement wrote that the material blood of Jesus is no more effectual to cleanse from sin when it was shed upon the cursed tree as when it was flowing through his veins. Of course, Mary Baker Eddy was like many today, they stand in complete opposition to the Word of God. There's redemption only in the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to his riches of his grace. John wrote, thou hast redeemed us by God, by the blood. In Revelation 5 and verse number 9, we're reconciled by the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. By his death, thank God, we have been reconciled, meaning that he got us back together with God. The death of Jesus Christ, his blood is what got us back with God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews and the 9th chapter and verse number 13, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, the church of the living God was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter and verse number 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You know how we overcome? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says in the book of Revelation and the 12th chapter and verse number 11, and they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Glory be to God. I like songs about the blood. I like to hear preaching about the blood. Because the blood of Jesus was predestinated blood. The blood of Jesus was perfect blood. The blood of Jesus was precious blood. The blood of Jesus was permanent blood. The blood of Jesus was pacifying blood. Now, we want to look at the background and the symbolism of the Passover. First of all, I want us to know the background of this story. The nation of Israel was in bondage to Pharaoh and the nation of Egypt. Egypt was a cruel taskmaster to God's chosen nation. Friend, they were cruel and they placed hard and unnecessary burdens on God's people. The children of Israel, they begin to cry out by reason of this hard bondage, and God heard their cries, and God raised up a man by the name of Moses who would deliver Israel out of this bondage. And at God's appointed time, God sent Moses and Aaron, his brother, unto Pharaoh. By Moses and Aaron, God caused 10 great plagues to fall upon Pharaoh and all the land of Egypt. And the 10th and the last of these plagues was the death of every firstborn Egyptian child. Friend, there was not one house in all of Egypt that was not affected. I say even Pharaoh's house, there was the death of his firstborn and the firstborn of all the cattle belonging to the Egyptians also died. The next day, after the firstborn, amen, Pharaoh, after the death of the firstborn Pharaoh and all the nation of Egypt, let the children of Israel go and return unto their own land that God had gave to their fathers. The Israelites took the first Passover. The Passover supper protected Israel from this 10th and most grievous plague of all, the death of the firstborn. Next, we want to see some of the symbolism of this true event in the history of Israel. Egypt is a type of the world. It's a type of the bondage of sin. I'm thankful to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Sin is a cruel taskmaster. Yes, friend, Pharaoh is a type of the devil and that cruel taskmaster over the souls of men. The Passover supper was symbolic of Jesus Christ and the true Passover. And such, the Passover lamb is a type of Christ, our Passover, that was slain for us. The lamb is a type of the sinless body of Jesus Christ. The blood of the lamb is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for everyone in the whole world. Thus, placing the blood upon the doorpost is a type of salvation through faith in the blood of Jesus. The plague of death of the firstborn is a type of the wrath of God upon all sinners. The deliverance of Israel from Egypt is a type of salvation out of Satan's kingdom. So this gives us a brief background of the very important event in Israel's history and some of the typology that can be derived from this event. Again, the Passover lamb was a type of Christ because he is our Passover. Our Passover lamb suffered for us from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to Calvary. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Thank God, because of our Passover, Jesus Christ, we will never have to know the tremendous suffering that Jesus went through while he was on the cross. When God poured out his wrath on the Son for our sins. So Christ is not only the Passover, he is also the atonement. Romans 5:11, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. The Lamb was appointed. In our case, it's the blood of a divinely appointed victim. Jesus Christ did not come into this world unappointed. Jesus Christ was sent here by his Father. The Lamb in the Old Testament had to be examined for 4 days to prove that it was without blemish. And for 43 years, they examined our Savior, his enemy. The man that wanted to find fault in him more than anyone else said, "I find no fault in him." So that Lamb in the Old Testament had to be without blemish. Picture Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God. It couldn't have any diseases. It couldn't have any sores. It couldn't have any such thing, because all of that was a type of sin. I tell you, Jesus and his life was impeccable. That means he was the sinless, pure, holy Son of God. There was not the least blemish to be found in all of his purpose. The virgin birth of Christ established his righteousness. Judas cried out, "I have betrayed innocent blood." His blood was innocent. Paul explained, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Yes, Pilate said, "I find no fault at all." Jesus himself said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He was spoken of as holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Again, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." John added, "In him is no sin." Thank God for the virgin birth. It was essential to our salvation. Thank God, when it comes to the blood of Jesus, there was no impurities in the blood of Jesus. Everything about Christ was perfect, including his blood. The Lamb had to be a male. The Lamb must be a male. Of course, Jesus was a man. You know, the modern today, the modernists don't like that. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are all in the masculine. Therefore, are a male. The Lamb must be of the first year. Jesus was of the tender age. He was full of vigor, full of life, full of strength. He still had his youth. And like a young lamb, thank God, he is tender food for the soul, to all that partake of him by faith in his sacrifice. Psalm said in chapter 34 and verse number 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." They were to eat all the lamb, including in the pertinence, the entrails. Eat it all. You know what we need in this day and time? We need all the word of God. Not just pick and choose, because the Bible says in Matthew 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need this book preached from Genesis to Revelation. And John 10 verse number 9, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." Thank God for the blood. The Bible says in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse number 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. You know that statement, that life is in the blood, is an amazing statement for someone to make in Moses' day. To be the Passover lamb, the blood must be applied. The Passover blood must be applied to your heart. I know people say, I got my religion. Pharaoh did too. The Egyptians had their religion too. Just like people tell you today when you talk to them about getting saved and you talk to them about the truth and you talk to them about the country, I got my own religion. I got my own beliefs. Pharaoh did too. But how'd that work out for them? How'd that work out for the Egyptians? They had their own religion. People say to me, I got my own beliefs. But if you intend to go to God's heaven, you will go God's way. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears. It dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Another song says, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Think about that. It don't matter how vile the sinner is, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And the song, and I know that the blood still reaches deeper than the stain of sin is gone. The stain of sin goes deep, but thank God for the blood that goes deeper than the stain is gone. My grandma Dishman used to sing, she lost her mind. She didn't know my dad, she didn't know nobody, but she never forgot the words of the song. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God about the blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. Because once I wandered in sin's dark night, there was no way to make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go. I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin sick and lost. And there are those who rely on the works that they do. And some men count on the times they prayed through. But when the battle's over and the victory's won, I'm going home through the blood of the Father's only Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star of heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. It's still the blood, saints. It's still the blood of Jesus. And he said, I'll tell you what, when I see the blood, as soon as I see the blood, I'm gonna pass over you. Thank God. He passes over those. We're saved not by just the life of Jesus, we're saved by the blood. The blood must be applied. Said to friends, it been applied to your heart? How is the blood applied? How was it applied in the Old Testament? They used a hyssop branch to cover the doorpost with blood. I believe they really covered it, don't you? I believe they really put the blood on the doorpost. They wouldn't want there to be any doubt that the blood was covering this house. The act of placing the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel showed their faith in that blood, that it had power to deliver from death. How about the blood? Has it been applied to your soul by faith in the Lamb of God? It's through the blood of Christ. Christians will be presented pure and holy and white before the judgment throne of Christ. Has the blood been applied to your heart? If not, you ought to repent. Put faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He was buried, he rose again the third day for you. By being born again, by being washed in the blood, you're saved from death to come. In this way, the blood is applied to your heart.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that soul-searching message that you've given us today. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.